Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
At any rate, I don't think you're here to hear my story, but I want to encourage you from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. And our text is the story of Christ calling Peter to be his disciples. Now, for those who knew me, I would normally have a PowerPoint and notes that you write down, but I got so many things I want to share. I want to encourage everyone. And been praying. God led me to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. And if you are a 49er fan, this title should inspire you. I titled it The Catch. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, San Francisco 49er made those two words famous, the catch. So it's about Peter, and one day, Jesus encountered him. And we're going to read Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. And I'm not going to be talking about making disciples. I'm going to leave that to Pastor Matt and Allison. I'm going to talk about the encounter of Jesus and what had become of Peter because of that. And I don't know about you, but there are times in our lives where we struggle, right? Life has never been the same after the pandemic. And I've heard there are like hundreds, if not thousands, of churches never recovered after the pandemic. And very sad, There are churches in Canada, which even before the pandemic, by the way, this is speaking about the spirituality of Canada. It's like there are churches that we know that are closed for the entire summer. Yeah, imagine that. Like 3 months. June, July, August, church closed. Beautiful buildings, because everybody goes somewhere during summertime and maybe that's a bit too much. Our attendance really go down during summer, but we tell our people, even though there's one or two or three there, we will open the church. We'll have people come and worship the Lord, right? So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, it's not about discipleship, although it's about a coming up disciple. But I want to lead you to the story about Peter. And so what I'm going to do is let's read the verses, and I'm going to just share some encouraging principles or thoughts from the verse that I hope would minister to some of you today. And I don't know what issues, I don't know what burdens, I don't know what problems you are dealing with, but I hope we can get something out from the text. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 6, and I don't know if Pro Presenter would give you that. Would that give you a verse also? No, it would not lead you. But anyways, I'm sure you have your Bibles with you today, right? Amen. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, I take this from the NIV, and let's start with verse 1. And it says here, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or Lake of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Jesus was just standing there, and the people gathered around him. The first thing that I want to share with you today is that Jesus attracts people. We live in a world today, and I hate to say this, that it seems like churches are becoming like, a mom-and-pop store where they got to have to promote their church so that it becomes attractive to people. People will come. They have different types of programs and activities just to attract all people. And you may get people to visit. You might get people to come. And people might try your cookie and the coffee that you are serving over there. But I have something to tell you. It is Jesus that will attract people. It is Jesus that will draw people to you. Where there is Jesus, expect people to be there too. But here's the thing, though. I'm not saying that he will only attract good people. You know, my prayer when I become a pastor, especially when I become a pastor of Lighthouse, I pray, Lord, please send me good people. You know, great people. Right? I'm not saying that because Jesus is present in the house that he will only attract people. I believe the church is needed mostly by people who are broken, people who are lost, people who are just waking up one on Sunday and says, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do with my life today? And I hope that we continue to open up the church. And I was looking around, I was walking around here early this morning, and my heart just goes out for the people who are setting this all up. You know, it takes a lot of hard work. And I remember that because I used to do all of these things too. You know, and back then I used to wear a tie here at Lighthouse. And when I come home, my tie gets ripped because I'm holding all the speakers and everything, right? And I'm just trying to invite people all around. See, our prayer is not, what should be our next program to attract people? Our prayer is that, Lord, may your presence show up every time that we gather around. Because with the presence of Jesus, life would turn around. Things would turn around. So if you have Jesus living in you, I'm not talking about you signing up for ministry. Just living your life. Going to school, going to work, being a neighbor. If Jesus is living in your life, you will become attracted to people. And they may not understand what's in you. And that's one of the testimonies that we rejoice always because, you know, not all people from our community go to our church unless there's potluck when they know there's lechon and pancit. And they would show up, and we're happy when they show up. But one of the things we love being in our community is this. When they are sick, when a loved one died somewhere in the Philippines, or when they go to travel, or when they have their birthdays, they would call us. They would go to our house. And they don't go to our church, but they call us, Pastor, can you pray for us? Can you pray for me? There was one time I went to our local store, and the guy came running out of the store, and he got a piece of paper like this, and he grabbed my hand and starts rubbing it. And I says, what is this? He just bought lottery tickets. And rub it in my hand, you know. He says, because I felt like you're so close to God, you know. And so I told him, brother, it doesn't work that way. Otherwise, I'll be buying tickets every week. But it is a blessing when people see Jesus in you. And that should be our prayer. It's not about how beautiful our church or how small or how big. May our heart's desire is that, Lord, may people see you in my life. They see thee in my life. Amen. So this is that day. He's just standing there and crowds starting to gather around him. And this church become a powerful church. We just let Jesus shine in this place. Let's jump to verse 2 and 3. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So look at Jesus back then. That's his pulpit. Not a boat. Right? So let's just stop assuming and dreaming and spending a lot of money to try to beautify our places and to attract people. Jesus says, there's a boat right there. Can I use it? That's his pulpit. But here's the thing that I want to take with you. It says there were two boats. You know, this is the area in Galilee. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there twice. But back then, that's a fishing village. There were plenty of boats there. But he picked Simon's boat. Just think about that for a moment. Of the many boats that were there, he picked Simon's boat. Now, why is that? The answer, of course, would say, well, this is God's divine plan, because he was looking out for Peter. And I would agree with that 100%. But I believe there's more to it. Why he picked Peter's boat. Jesus knew. He had this discernment. He had this power to know that he will be welcome to use that boat. Other people might say, don't touch my boat. I'm saving this for my next fishing trip. But Jesus knew. There were no objections from Peter and for the other people around him. Andrew might be there too. But he let him, let Jesus use the boat. By the way, folks, you know the story very well. The miracle of the big catch begins when Peter welcomes Jesus to use his boat. You know the story. You've heard this since you were young. Peter, he went all night fishing, caught nothing, right? And it would have been the same story if he did not let Jesus use his boat. What's the lesson here? The boat was very important to Peter. It was his primary means of earning a living. Maybe next to his house, that's another most important piece of property that he owns. Can I tell you something? What is in your life that you are willing to let Jesus have it? What is in you that you would say, Lord, I have this. Would you come and use this for your whatever purpose, whatever glory you have? It could be your voice. It could be your talents. It could be your skills. You know, one of the sad things we have as ministers, that we have members who have beautiful homes. They have beautiful properties, but they would not open it for a prayer meeting or Bible study. Oh, I just vacuumed the carpet. I just waxed the floor. Like as if they can bring that to eternity. It could have been a place where a lot of people would get to know Christ. It could have been a place where the glory of the Lord would dwell in there. Peter tried fishing all night. And by the way, he's an expert fisherman. He's not a newbie. Caught nothing. But the beginning of this glorious catch happened when Jesus says, can I use your boat? And he says, go ahead. I always love this saying, mi casa es tu casa. And that's always our mandate. Our house is open to anybody. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to know my wife and you come and stay with us, you're not going to sleep in the living room. You're not going to sleep in the basement. You take the master's bedroom. We sleep somewhere. Didn't the Bible says that when we're helping someone or we're ministering to someone, you never know that you are ministering to angels unaware. Is Jesus welcome to use your life? Have you opened up your life and say, Lord, I don't know what talents I have. I don't know what I can do. But here's my life. Use it for your glory. I have met so many people in my life. And some of you here, you might be this close to your miracle. And you're missing out because you're so protective about your life. Well, I got this career. You see that diploma on the wall? Let me tell you something. An eternity, that means nothing. But what if you just allow today? Say, Lord, I really don't know what I can do. I don't even know why I'm in this church today. I'm supposed to watch the Blue Angels. Well, for some reason, I don't know. It's cloudy. And so somebody asked me to come here. Perhaps he's been stirring you, been asking you, can I use your body? Can I use your voice? Can I use your hand? The boat was important to Peter, but he was willing to share it for Jesus. Let's go to verse 4. And this is probably the heart of the message today. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. If you have a Bible, a phone, actually, if you're using a Bible app, you can actually highlight it. You can click on that verse, and you have an option to highlight it. I want you to highlight that. Go back to it and remember it, because this verses 4 and 5. Now, folks, listen to me. Do you ever feel in your life that God doesn't make sense at all? Right? Oh, I love Old Testament stories, you know, and there are so many things there that when I read it, even now, I read it and says, why do you do that, right? From a human standpoint, there are many times in life, especially when God asked Noah to build an ark. And I don't think he was even close to an ocean. Yeah, let's build an ark, right? And Noah did it. He was building. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. Don't you think it's better for them to build a house or a building? I'd build an ark. He doesn't make any sense. When the Israelites was being chased by the Egyptians, where did he lead them? He led them by the Red Sea. And I was like, can you just at least do something and then let rocks roll over them? Doesn't make sense, right? When Goliath was challenging the Israelites, you know, I think there are better soldiers out there, better warriors, but he picked a young man. I don't think he picked a young child, but he picked a young man, not still in enough age to be an army. You're right, I were a soldier, but he picked that and go over there and fight the giants. There are times, it makes sense. You know, I live all my life so far away from snow. And then God would say, you're going north. I thought San Francisco was already north from us because we came from Southern Cal. No, I said, farther north. Oh, boy. Lord, can you send someone from Scandinavia? Someone from Iceland? Not someone from the Philippines to live in the snow? Yes. God is doing something like that. That's because If God would always give us an assignment that we know what to do and we're good at it, and we can do it, we will do it on our own without relying on His help. And we would mess up great things. Because God knows better. God, in many times, would not make any sense. And just like in our story today, They fished all night, and they don't normally go out fishing in the middle of the day, because just like Bay Area people, we fish, take a nap in the middle of the day. I've been there. But, and I want to encourage you, when everything is peaceful over there, go walk by the Sea of Galilee, Lake of Galilee, and just wade there about this deep like about 5 o'clock, just right before sunset, and just stand there. In just a few minutes, fish starts to come to you, starts nibbling you right there. But they are nowhere to be found in the middle of the day. It's too hot for them. It doesn't make sense, Lord. But I like it. Peter and his buddies were fishing all night. They were tired. They're cleaning up their nets, you know, is getting ready. Maybe even just ready to take a nap and go back at it at night. But I like this. I like it when Peter says, Master, we work hard all night. We caught nothing. But because you say so. How many of us, still today, when we sing that song, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm aching, I'm discouraged, I'm weak, I'm out of job, but because you called me to serve, I'm going to serve with an ever remaining ounce of strength in me. God may not make any sense to us, but God knows exactly what he is doing, and God is never wrong. I don't know, you may want to take this down. Peter knew the business of fishing. He knew how to fish. He knew when's the right time to fish. But Jesus knew the fish. He knew the fish. You might know strategies. You might know how to attract people, but God knows the people. He knows the needs of the people around us, and he knows your needs. Furthermore, it is okay to express our frustrations and failures to God. It's actually okay. If you read the book of Psalms, so many of the songs, why, Lord? Where are you, Lord? What's going on, Lord? It's okay. A lot of my prayers. Have you ever heard about, you know, the Monday morning pastor? I'm one of those Monday morning pastors. I have submitted a lot of my resignation letter to God every Monday. Because on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays, I got this excitement. It's going to be the Lord's day. We have all of these things planned. I know people are going to come. People are going to go to the altar. The message is so good. And then nobody shows up. Or even when there's someone who shows up in the middle of the sermon, they start. And so Monday morning, God, here's my resignation letter. But God says, I'm not accepting that. I'm not done yet. It's okay. It's okay to tell God, Lord, I'm so discouraged. I'm hurting. It's okay. What is not okay is we dwell on them. The moment you say, Lord, it's my problem, it's my trouble, I'm giving it all up to you in Jesus' name, amen. You stand up and continue doing. It's already given to God, right? Once you have given it to God, don't take it back. Let him throw it in the trash bin somewhere in hell, right? It's okay. That's what Peter said. Lord, come on, Master. We tried this all night. He was short of telling, I know better than you. He didn't. But he made this greatest confession one should make, because you say so, I'll do it. One of our testimonies, some of you probably heard it before. When we know God has opened up the door and know we're coming, we consulted the kids. We sit down over breakfast, and we told them. They were in the middle of school. It was, school just started. And so they know they're not going to finish the school here in the Bay Area. And we had breakfast, and we asked, hey kids, I think God is leading us to go somewhere out of this Bay Area. And they love the Bay Area. They love this place. And I thought they would be like, wow. And Noah looked us up and says, Dad, Mom, if God says go, there's only one answer to that. And that is yes. You don't question why, you don't question how. When you know, and you know deep inside your heart, this is where God is leading me, it's been confirmed by the word, confirmed by people that had prayed with you and walked with you, the answer is yes. Because you say so, Lord. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. You may know what your problem is and what is wrong with your life, but the question I am asking you today is, do you know what the Word of God is telling you about your problem? We're good at finding problems. We're good at pointing who the problem is. And normally it's not us, right? If somebody breaks down somewhere, I know the problem is, it's not me. It's Irish. Irish did it. It's not always us. We know what the problem is. But do you know what God is saying about your problem? Then he say, my grace is sufficient for you. That you will realize his strength when you are weak and when you are down. One of the things we love so much, and we keep sharing this. See, among the Filipinos, any Filipinos in the house? Right? Rice is life. You know that, right? So do you know that during COVID time for 2 years, we never bought rice? People would knock on our door and say, I got this bag of rice. I don't know what to do with them. You want them? Sure. Right? And then there are times when, remember I told you there are people who don't go to our church, but for some reason they care about us. Right before service starts, somebody would come to church and say, hey, pastor, can I borrow your keys? I don't ask them what they do with it. It's my keys. My car's junk anyway, so, you know. So, they borrow my keys, and we got home, we opened the trunk, and there's sacks of rice. Right there, 2 years. We know what our problem is, but we also know what God is saying about our problem. I called you here. I send you here. You are my concern. You are my problem. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Amen? Do you know what the Word of God is telling you about your question? Let's finish off with verse 6. I like this. Another highlight verse. When they have done so. It's not about when they talk about it and we're good at, oh, we know what God wants us, and we call a committee. Let's plan and meet, and we talk about, oh, it's so difficult. Oh, maybe it's for another church. Yeah. No. Verse 6 of Luke chapter 5, I'm going to finish with this. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Let me rewind a little bit. Go back to verse 4. I missed something out. Do you look at the commandment of Jesus here? A lot of people, when I talk about this, their focus is on the command. But I want you, come on, you have your Bibles with you? Look it up in verse 4 with me, please. Right? When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the net for a catch. Most of the times, people would leave out those three words, for a catch. We are often focused on go fishing, throw out the net. But do you know that wasn't the entire command of Jesus? The command of Jesus is, hey, Peter, let's go out for a catch. Right?
wasn't just by any chance throw the net. Jesus was very specific. You are going to get a catch. Come on now. How often we were so bogged down with the commandment of Jesus that we ignored the promise of Jesus. He wasn't just asking you to be uncomfortable, you're tired and weary, to just go out there in the deep and just throw the... No, he says, come on, let's go for a catch. That was the command. But we're so focused on what he wants us to do. This is so very important because God was asking us to do something. And by the way, Scott, thank you for bringing this up. You know, in Malachi chapter 3, we're so focused on, oh, God is asking us to give. But we forget the promise. Give and what? And it shall be given to you. We forget that. Right? We're only focused on, he's asking me to give. Do you know that in any banks today, people will be happy if you get 1% return of your deposit? 1%, that's already, people were already, whoa, this bank is so good. They're giving you back 1% of what you deposited to them. The Word of God says, give, and whatever you give will be given back to you. 100% return. But we complain, I don't want to go to that church. Oh, we're giving. Because we're focused on what God's asking us to do. We're not focused on the promise of God. Why would I forgive someone? They hurt me. I'm the victim. But we forget. Forgive so you will also be forgiven. We keep cutting off the promise of God. And so when we look at verse 4, people are focused. Oh, you're tired. God wants you to. No. Jesus knew yesterday you got an egg. You got nothing to feed your family. So now I'm asking you, we're going to get something to feed your family and you got something to bless. But we're so complaining about, you're asking me to do something? You asked me to row the boat again? Asking me to use my net? I'm just washing it. Hello? He's asking you to get the catch. Not just the commandment. So, going back. When they have done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. The key phrase to this verse is found here. When they have done so. A lot of us stop at thinking, we overanalyze things, and we say, well, that's a good plan, Lord. That's a good commandment, Lord. But we don't do anything. I really love the message. My heart was filled with what's the message? God taught us to forgive those who wrong us. All right, what are you going to do? I'm waiting for Val to practice it. I'm going to see how Pastor Allison going to do it. See if it works. And it works, glory to God. But when they have done so, the miracle happened when they obey. When they obey, when they follow God's command. Because Jesus says so, Peter obeyed. Peter knew how to fish, but Jesus knew the fish. So, going back to the title, I'm closing with this now. The catch. What is the catch? Or who was caught? You might think it's the fish. But actually the story here, Jesus caught Peter. This is not the first time he had an encounter with Jesus. If you go to Luke chapter 4, Jesus went to his house and healed his mother-in-law. It wasn't a first-time encounter. Perhaps there are many of us here today, brothers and sisters. You got many encounters with the Lord. How's your life after that? a catch. Jesus caught Peter. And Peter found himself at the mercy of the Lord. Now from then on, he was no longer catching fish. Catching fishers of men. Lots of miracles happened in Peter's life and through Peter when he followed the Lord. Again, how? I don't know how this message would fit into your life today. But I got so many things that I've learned personally from this story. But one thing that I will bring home is when I focus on Jesus and he asks us to do something and may not make sense at all, may we all say to him, because you say so, I will do it, Lord. I will do it. You want me to go stand in the street and just smile at people? I'll do it, Lord. You want me to go to Canada in the middle of winter? Because you say so. I know we're going to make it. Amen?
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.